It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, welcome back to the table. This is our segment two, where we take some time and sit at the feet of our Lord with our Bible study teacher, Connie Stample, who's going to be talking to us on this Christmas Eve about, some very appropriate things to think about as we think about looking at Christmas through eternal eyes. Connie, what are we going to be learning about today?
Well, today we're going to study the encounter of Jesus with the rich young man, and this is in Mark 10, verses 17 to 31. But I think it's going to tell us about what's of eternal importance, and then definitely it's going to help us look at the world with different eyes, perhaps. So I will read our section, and then we'll talk through it. Verse 17, "And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother.' And he said to him, 'Teacher, all these I've kept from my youth.' And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.' Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, 'How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God.' And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, 'Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God.' And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, 'Then who can be saved?' Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God.' Peter began to say to him, 'See, we've left everything and followed you.' Jesus said, 'Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first.'" In this section, we find Jesus having an encounter with a man, and there's much truth for us to learn from what Jesus taught him and also the man's response to that. In verse 17, it says, "And as he was setting out on his journey," so Jesus is on the journey to Jerusalem, "a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?'" And we see from the text that this man, because he ran and he knelt and he called Jesus good teacher, he's sincere. He's looking for something from Jesus. He thinks Jesus can tell him something that's going to be important. By calling Jesus good teacher, he is doing something that most of the other people of that day would not do, would call Jesus good. And then Jesus calls him on it. But also notice the man's question is, what must I do to inherit eternal life or life with God? But the part about the question that makes us pause right away is he says, what must I do? And so we can see already this man thinks he needs to do something. He wants to be sure that he's going to be all right with God and that he will live with God forever. And then Jesus answered him, and Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." And that is from Scripture. We know that only God is perfect and perfectly righteous, and all his ways are perfect. And so it is true. No person on this earth is good. If we look at Romans 3, it talks about none are righteous, and we've all sinned. But also this statement of Jesus is an indirect way of actually acknowledging that this man called him good, because Jesus is God, and he is the only good one. And then Jesus tells him, he goes to the law to show the man actually his sin. He says, "You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud." Now, the do not defraud is not specifically a commandment, but it definitely goes along with the idea of not stealing and not bearing false witness. And then it says, "Honor your father and mother." And so this is what called the second table of the law from Exodus 20. And so it's the ones that are easier to see because they're the ones that you do to other people. And so, yes, you could be determined, did you ever steal? Have you ever borne false witness? That kind of thing. And then we find this man thinks he's doing pretty well, because in verse 20 says, and he said to him, teacher, remember, notice how he took the good off. He's learned something already. Teacher, all these I've kept from my youth. And so as far as this man knows, he's kept the letter of the law. He hasn't broken any of these commandments. But Jesus wants to go to the heart of the matter, because Jesus knows more what's going on in this man's life. And so it says in verse 21, and Jesus looking at him, and the Greek word is a word that means he penetratingly looked deep inside of him. His soul was bare. This man's soul was bare before the Lord. And Jesus looked at him and he loved him. Only in Mark's gospel do we have these words. And so we know that Jesus really cared and loved for this lost soul, this man. And he said to him, you lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And so Jesus went to the heart of this rich young man's problem, and he said, sell everything you have and give it away, and then come back and follow me. And we're going to find the true heart status of this man because of how he responded. Verse 22, it says, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And so we find out for this young man, wealth was his God. Wealth was more important than what Jesus had to say. Wealth was more important than following Jesus. And so he could not give up his wealth, which speaks to the fact that he's already broken the first commandment, which was to have no other gods before me. And so this man had an idol, and it was his wealth. And in this passage, we're seeing that, again, to be a follower of Jesus means to renounce or deny or give up anything that God would have us give up. We know in this instance, Jesus asked someone to sell everything he owned, and give it to the poor and then follow him. We don't find Jesus telling everyone to do that, but I think we do need to be prepared that Jesus might ask anything of us, and anything of this world that comes between us and God is an idol, and he asks us to get rid of, or he works to pry it out of our hands. We need to obey and allow that to happen, because we don't know what happened with this young man, but he left Jesus and he did not follow him. Verse 23 then talks about how Jesus is going to explain this to his disciples. And one other concept we need to understand is that for the Jewish people, throughout the Old Testament and the people of Jesus' day, material wealth was a sign of God's blessing, because all throughout the Old Testament, the children of Israel were told that they were going to the land of the promised land, which is the land flowing with milk and honey. And if they obeyed God, they would be prosperous and blessed. And so obeying God was coupled with God's blessing. But Jesus is going to teach that there's a different way now. It's not the same. And then the other aspect of it is that Jesus was always concerned about the spiritual blessing, not just the physical material blessing. So in verse 23, it says, and Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed or surprised at his words. But Jesus said to them again, children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. And here when Jesus says children, it's only Mark's gospel he says this, and it makes us think that he's still talking to them because he understands they're immature in their understanding of God's kingdom and God's ways. Because here they're still thinking, okay, wealthy man, blessed man, can't get into heaven. Because then they're really wondering how it is someone can be right with God if they're not blessed. And then Jesus explains, he gives them a word picture. He says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And it says, and they were exceedingly astonished or astounded and said to him, then who can be saved? And so Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. And so we're seeing here that salvation is of the Lord. And really, in human terms, it is completely impossible for any one of us to be saved. But with God, when we come to the end of ourselves and understand our sin and our need for a Savior, that's when God can start to work in our lives and to turn us so that we repent and believe, as Jesus had preached earlier in Mark, is when we acknowledge our sin, repent and say, this is wrong, I've sinned against you, Lord, and then trust in Jesus and what he's done to make us right with God. And then we find the disciples are still working on this. They still haven't completely figured it out because Peter responds in verse 28. Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." And so he's again thinking of us and what we've done. "Lord, we followed you. We left behind family and homes and jobs." And then Jesus affirms that, but he also expands and tells more because Jesus says in 29, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands." Notice the second part about what they will receive. It doesn't say father because we have one father, the Father in heaven. But then it says with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life. And so Jesus is talking about what is most important. Human relationships are important, but when you enter the family of God, you have a new family with new brothers and sisters and a new father, and Jesus is our master and Lord. And so in this life, we will receive what we need because the God the Father is good and he will take care of us, but we will also receive those persecutions too. And we may be asked to give up anything that we would hold on to that the world would consider important. And then Jesus ends this section with something we've been talking about over the past several days. He says, "But many who are first will be last, and the last first." And so, again, we're talking about that servant nature of discipleship and how to be a disciple of Jesus means to trust him and obey and follow him and deny ourselves and to give up anything that he might ask us to give, all for the treasure of what we will receive to be in fellowship with him and God the Father and to have eternal life with him in heaven. So the disciples are slowly learning. It hasn't kind of sunk in yet. I think we're learning along with them, but may we be people that because of studying these passages, may we be women who understand in a deeper way what it means to follow Jesus.
Oh, amen. And may we follow him with our hands open, not clinging on to those things that we think we need. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us in this Bible study. You'll find all the notes and, they'll always be there right on our website at naomistable.com. Just look for lesson 36 for today. And Nancy and I will talk more about this when we come back.